All righty, Haxamea. Last time I'll be able to say that until, well, now it's six more weeks. Six more weeks from Yom Rishon, the first day of the week. So I have a message today called Going from Darkness to Light. Going from Darkness to Light. And one of the things when I first became a believer was I was really amazed at how all Christianity could be deceived. I don't know if you thought the same thing. You know, the question is, could everyone be wrong? Could all those pastors be wrong? And then you find out, yes, they all wrong. But you wonder, how could 99% of Christianity, thank you, how could 99% of Christianity be keeping Sunday if Saturday was the Sabbath? You know, how could they keep Christmas and Easter if it was really pagan? And yet, it was true, you find out it's true, and Satan has deceived the whole world. We know that, Revelation 12:9. But to me, even more than that, the greatest revelation to me as a new believer was that Yahweh was real. You know, that he was real, he was alive, and he was actually working out a plan to restore his kingdom to this earth. Because I was always taught that this world is for human beings, and you just live, you know, your life, you do whatever you want to do, and if you're a good person, then you get to the next world, you know, that you, when you die, you'll go to heaven. That's the next world. And growing up, I was never taught that there's a connection between what you do in this life and if you get to the next world, if there is a next world, depending on what you do in this life. But to know that Yahweh was working, still working a plan on the earth, and that I could have access to him was amazing. It was the most amazing thing to me in my life. And to have a real one-on-one relationship with him was life-changing. You know, so, of course, in false Christianity, you know, people learn to pray, but they're just repetitious prayers. It's not really having a conversation with Yahweh. And for most people, they're not looking for him to speak back to them. So to literally hear the voice of Yahweh, to have him working your life, to have you pray for something and immediately happens, it was life-changing to me. Because now I knew this is something that's real. This is something that is amazing. And this is the message of the kingdom. This is the message we're bringing. So, you know, we started getting into this week on kingdom principles, and we'll be getting more into ambassadorship. But this is the message of the kingdom, that the relationship that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden can be restored through repentance and through belief in the blood of Yeshua for forgiveness of sins. And I talked about this the other day, that 99% of Christianity, they teach a message about Yeshua. So they tell, you know, what a loving, kind person he was, which is absolutely true. But they don't teach the message that he brought. And that message was to free mankind from Satan's kingdom to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what the message is. To free mankind from Satan's kingdom to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's the biggest deception, really, when you think about it, of Satan's lie. He deceives the people that this current world system is from Elohim and that it belongs to us. And that's why, you know, you see this thing of fighting for democracy, you know, and people will fight for this because they think that somehow this world system belongs to us and we got to fight to hold on to it, when in reality, Satan is the god of this world. None of this world system has anything to do with a true believer. You know, he's the god of it, and that's where the deception comes. So let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, let's see this. It says, then Yeshua was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he hungered. And coming near to him, the accuser said, if you are the son of Elohim, speak that the... Oh. Going from darkness to light, now we're going from light to darkness. So we'll see how long before we get our lights back on. And coming near to him, the accuser said, if you are the son of Elohim, speak that these stones may become loaves. But answering, he said, It has been written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. So we have to, as believers, we have to deny the flesh for the Spirit to work. We have to strive to follow every word of Yahweh. That is our commitment as a disciple. That is what Yahweh is calling us for. And we have to make sure that we're striving to do that. Go down to verse 8, right? And then, again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, I will give all things to you if falling down you will worship me. Wow. Can you imagine the brass of Satan to say that? Satan was created by Yeshua. And he tells Yeshua, but, you know, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you bow down. But notice, Yeshua didn't deny that Satan had the authority to do it. Because he is the God of this world. So he does have the authority in his world to do that. But look what Yeshua says. Then Yeshua said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Then the accuser left him, and behold, cherubs came near and ministered to him. So this is a pretty eye-opening scripture that clearly shows that no, this is not Yahweh's world, and this is not ours, our world, and we shouldn't fight to kind of hold this world. It shows Satan is the God of this world. This is his world, and everything in it is part of his world. And actually, what we're living in now is where commercial Babylon has gone over all the world, and that's the system of trading that Satan has brought to the world, not to free them, but to enslave them. So as believers of Yahweh, this is what we're going to see. What does that mean to us, right? What does this mean to us? The first thing is, you know, you'll see people say, well, if Elohim is really true, why does he allow this? Why does he allow babies to die? Why does he allow this? And the first thing is, don't expect justice in the world where Satan is the god of. You really expect justice in Satan's world? You expect things to work out in his world. This is the thing. People don't concept that. This is not Yahweh's world. This is not the kingdom of Yahweh. This is the kingdom of Satan that we're living in. So don't expect justice. When things happen, when evil things happen, that's what you should expect. That's what's going to happen in Satan's world. Nothing will ever turn out good in Satan's world. There's never going to be justice in Satan's world. In his society, the most successful people are those who backbite, lie, stab others in the back, those with the most pride, and those willing to compromise and do anything for mammon and worldly recognition and power. Those are the ones that are going to succeed, and look around. Who are the most successful people in Satan's world? That's who it is. In the kingdom, though, what does Yahweh say? He who is greatest among you is him who is your greatest servant. It's diametrically different. And like we were talking about yesterday in class, it's a mindset. The kingdom of Yahweh is a mindset. It's not just a belief. It's not just a conviction. But it's a mindset. It's something you live in. It's something that is your core belief. It's something that every day of your life, every decision that's made, you don't have to think about it. So here it is, right? When Satan is coming to Yeshua and telling him these things, right? Yeshua doesn't have to analyze and think about it. No, automatically he's saying, wow, scripture's coming out of his mouth. Man should not live by bread alone, by every word of the mouth of Yahweh. Bow down to you. You know, you serve Yahweh in him only. He doesn't even have to think about it. It should be the same with us. It should be an automatic response to Satan's world, to the kingdom of Yahweh. So, Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And Yahweh gave me this message. I was working on it for several months, and I was done with it a while ago. And I thought, no, I don't want to give this into the school, because it really fits in with what we're learning here, you know? And I thought this would be a great message for Shabbat at the school. Going from darkness to light. Right? Here we go. And let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. and let him rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, and over the cattle on the earth, and all the creepers creeping on the earth. And Elohim created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim he created him. He created them, male and female. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the land, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the seas, and over the birds of the heaven, and over all the beasts creeping on the earth. So what were we saying in class about a disciple? What is the definition of a disciple? One that disciples others. And what does he tell Adam here? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. His job was to make disciples of other people and fill Eden. The same way Eden is indicative of the kingdom of Yahweh. It was a real place. It was his kingdom at that point. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring people to Eden. We're supposed to fill up the kingdom of Yahweh. But again, like we see, Adam is given rulership over the earth, not ownership. In the kingdom principle, everything belongs to the king. But what happens? Unfortunately, Adam abdicates his position. We go to Genesis 3. And the serpent was cunning. He was cunning above every beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Elohim has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Right? So what do we say about good teachers, like Yeshua? Good teachers ask questions. But Satan, he's not asking a question to help people come to the truth. He's asking a question to try to pervert the truth. And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim had said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And as I'm looking at this and I'm analyzing it, the first thing I'm saying is, why is Eve palling around with the serpent? Right? Why is Eve palling around with the serpent? And the second question is, where is Adam? Where is her covering? Where is her headship? So, you know, both situations here, there's a big problem that we see from the beginning, and what happens? Adam abdicated, you know? And we see he's going to be there, but he certainly isn't taking leadership the way he should. And what does the serpent says after she says what Elohim said? The serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. The serpent said, Yahweh is a liar. He's lying to you. Right? That's what he's saying. The same way that we just read in Matthew 4, that the same serpent, you know, 4,000 years later, was trying to do the same thing to Yeshua. It was trying to twist Scripture and twist the word of Elohim and lie to him. For Elohim knows in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be open and you will be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And then what happens? You know, human nature. This is the human nature. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. Right? Her pride, her lust, her human nature comes in, and she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here it is, right? This was treason. They believed Satan over Yahweh. And how many believers do the same thing today? When we're part of the world, when we live in the world, when we do the things of the world, are we believing Satan over Yahweh? You know, how many times do I have to say, you know, you look at something like Facebook, how evil it is, and they admit it now. You know, you don't have to take my word for it. The people that created it tell you, we created it for evil. We created it to manipulate your children. And people still take of it. Why? Because it's good, right? I can communicate with my family. It's pleasant to the eyes, and it's desirable to make one wise. Are we doing the same thing? Are we doing the same thing? You know, are we going from darkness to light? Or did we never come out of darkness? That's the other thing you have to ask yourself. Have you ever come out of darkness to begin with? Adam abdicated his position as the leader, having domain over the earth to Satan. So this is why Satan is the God of this world, because Adam was meant to be the Elohim of this world. And Adam abdicated that position. He gave it over to Satan. And from that time, this is where we are. We're at 6,000 years later. We're just about the culmination of all of this together, where Yahweh's going to intervene. His cherubs are going to intervene. Yeshua's going to come back, and he's going to change all this. But the horrors in this world the reason why babies have died and the reason why all these horrors happen, it's not because of Elohim. It's because from Adam, every human being has done the same thing. Every human being has surrendered over to Satan and disbelieved Yahweh. And that's our job. Our job is to bring them back to the kingdom. Our job is He's calling us from darkness to light. And we have to see this is a world of darkness. And I mean real darkness. And everything in it is darkness. John 18 and verse 33. John 18 and verse 33. This is when Yeshua is before Pontius Pilate, right? And Pilate again sent to the praetorium and called Yeshua and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Yeshua answered, "Do you say this from your heart, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your nation, even the chief priests, delivered you up to me. What did you do?" Yeshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." Then Pilate said to him, "Are you really a king?" Yeshua answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, that I might witness to the truth. Everyone being of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Right? Because he sees that the very Jews that are supposed to be the religious, right? The religious leaders, what are they doing? They're bringing Yeshua in there, not because he did any crime, but because they're jealous of him. So he's saying, "What is truth?" You know, this is religion, right? This is their religion. This wasn't their political. And this is their religious leaders, that they would have someone killed simply because they were jealous of him, that they didn't want to lose their position. And that's what people ask in the world today. In Satan's world, like I said, don't look for justice, don't look for truth, because you're going to be pretty disappointed. But we have justice. We have truth. And we have the kingdom of Yahweh. We have something. Only these few small people who are first fruits, we have something that nobody else has. And yet the whole world is looking for. They're all looking for what we have. And that's why we have a great job before us. Because to bring this to the whole world, how do you do it? You know how you do it? Person at a time. That's the way he said, two by two, one on one. A person at a time, that's the way we do it. And that's why our character, and that's why our example, and that's why everything we do, it has to be of the truth. There can't be any contradiction in our life as a disciple. It has to be everything we do, whether it's the smallest thing, is it contradicting the truth? Is it contradicting right and wrong? You know, are we compromising even in the smallest way? So our job is not to take back Satan's society. And now you see this, right? You see people going to the streets and they're protesting and they want their rights back and they're tired of this. And I say this, you know, I appreciate that some of these people in the world protesting could help me maybe, you know, not have restrictions like with COVID. But you know what's really sad to me? That people are not protesting the COVID restrictions because they have to kill babies to make the vaccine. You know why they're protesting? They're protesting because their freedoms are being taken away. They're the same, right? So even though it may benefit us if they stop these restrictions, it's really, really sad to me that nobody is out there. I haven't seen one protest because they're killing innocent unborn babies to make this vaccine. I don't see any protests. But what you see is all over the world, people protesting for their freedom. And you know what? It's not freedom in the kingdom of Yahweh, because what's true freedom? Truth is freedom. But they're not fighting and they're not protesting for truth. They're protesting for freedom in Satan's system. What's wrong with this picture, right? It's really, when you think about it, it's not our fight as a believer. It really has nothing to do with us, because our whole job is to bring them real truth. Our whole job is to bring the kingdom of Yahweh. That's why He opened up our minds and our hearts. That's why He's given us this information. That's why He puts us here to train, to bring something to the world that really can change it. And when that change happens, when we get over the top of that mountain and the kingdom of Yahweh comes and Yeshua's feet go on the Mount of Olives, it's never going back. It'll never go back to the old way. And we have the proof of the scriptures showing them what will happen. There'll never be war again. Not because the weapons are going to be destroyed, but because there'll be nothing in the heart of man that wants war. They won't even think it. Our children will grow up not even knowing how on earth can people fight against each other. Why wouldn't they just give to the other person that needs it? There'll be no more death. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more sickness. And this isn't sky in the pie, you know, thoughts. This is reality. This is truth. And we have the proof of it in the word of Yahweh. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, right? Just like we saw with Eve in chapter 3, right? What deceived her? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. It's of the world of Satan. And the world is passing, and its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. So think about it, right? Most things in the world today are not going to be here when the kingdom of Yahweh happens. Most jobs people have will not be here. Most of many things will not be here when the kingdom of Yahweh happens. So are we living our life toward preserving things in this world that aren't even going to be there? Are we living our life toward preserving this message of bringing peace and real hope and truth in the kingdom of Yahweh to the world? And these are questions we have to ask ourselves because we've been called for this very purpose. Acts 26. Satan's system is a facade full of darkness, sorrow, and death. And the kingdom of Yahweh is full of peace, joy, and light. They're totally contrary 100% to each other. Acts 26 and verse 14. This is when the Apostle Paul is recounting when he was called on the road to Damascus. And it's very interesting what his commission was from Yeshua. He says, in all of us falling to the ground, right? This is where Yeshua speaks, and they fall to the ground. I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew dialect, right? Sha'ol, Sha'ol, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the stakes. And he said, who are you, sir? And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. This is one of the main scriptures I like to go to, showing the name is Yeshua. Because Jesus is not a Hebrew name and there's no letter J in Hebrew, but clearly Paul says he's speaking in the Hebrew dialect. So it's Aramaic or Hebrew. And he says his name is Yeshua. But rise up and stand on your feet, for it is for this reason I prepared you, to appoint you a servant and a witness, both of what you saw and in what I shall appear to you. And having delivered you from the people and the nations to whom I now send you, and this is what he's going to send them to, look, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the authority of Satan to Yahweh, in order that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in me. And, you know, during the last 2 years with COVID and lockdowns and all these restrictions, I realized something. That how much that was a burden to you should tell you how much you're part of Satan's system. Because if you were completely out of the system, not one thing should have bothered you over the last 2 years. Nothing. If you already were working out of the system, been out of the system, you had everything out of the system, none of those things. They could lock down, like what happened with all that stuff that started with Facebook and Twitter and all these things, YouTube banning people, and somebody that would tell the truth, they would ban them. And I said, can't ban me because I'm not part of it. So the least involved you are with them is how less your problems are going to be. And that should really, it was a wake-up call. Because where I had problems, that's what made me realize, I got to change this. You know, my uncle used to have an expression. He'd say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So now when Yahweh opens my mind and tells me where I got to change, I better do it. And now you got this small period of time here. You got the Shemitah coming, all these things. But a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 years, whatever it is, if when it gets worse, the next thing, and you're going through the same trouble, and you haven't changed, who do you have to blame? Right? We already know it now. This is Satan's system, and he's on a scorched earth, because that's what his job is in the end time. But if we're not part of his system, there ain't anything he could do to us. You know, there's nothing he could do to us. You're sanctified, you're away, His Spirit. He can only touch you if you're part of His system and if there's things in your life that belong to Him. You haven't overcome lust. You haven't overcome covetousness. You haven't overcome anger. He's coming for it. And He has every right to come for it because it's His. So this is the point where we need to be coming out of that system completely, because that's the whole calling, going from darkness to light. And I think, like I said, the biggest problem is that because we're living in this time period, we've never lived in another time period. We didn't live in 1492. We didn't live, you know, in the time of King David. And we didn't live in 1880 in Little House on the Prairie. All we know is this. That's all we know. So what we compare it to is, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, the world is about a 12 when it comes to evil. So if we see around us that we're just a 5, we're thinking we're doing pretty good. But we got to get to a 0. We got to get all evil out of our life. We got to get all darkness out of our life. And that's why you can't compare it to the world around you, because everything in the world is bad. Everything is corrupted. You got to compare it to the kingdom of Yahweh. And this is what it is. This is our road that we have to take. And I've said this before, that darkness doesn't really exist. There's no such thing as darkness, right? When the kingdom comes, read Revelation 21, 22, it'll just always be light. And it's not because of the sun and the moon. It's because the presence of Yahweh. So when the presence of Yahweh is there, there's only light. There's no such thing as darkness. So what is darkness? It's simply the absence of light. But after these next couple of years, when Yeshua returns, nobody will ever know what darkness is again, because it won't be there, because the light will always be there. So as long as that light is in our life 24 hours a day, there can't be any darkness. Darkness doesn't even exist. But while is there darkness in this world today? There's a lot of darkness because it's the kingdom of Satan. So darkness doesn't really exist. It's simply the absence of life or the absence of the presence of Yahweh. And that is, again, the greatest lie Satan has deceived the world with, making them think that this evil present world is ours, when we're simply ambassadors for a greater place. We have nothing to do with this world, like Yeshua said. My kingdom is not of this world, and our kingdom is not of this world. John 8 and verse 31. John 8 and verse 31. It says, then Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples. Right? We're talking about what a disciple is. So again, if we continue in His word, we're truly disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I'm telling you, I've always appreciated the truth, but over the last 2 years, I thank Yahweh every single day for that truth. Because the more you hear lies, you hear it from world leaders, you hear it from the news, you hear it from anywhere out there in Satan's world, all you hear is lies. Lie after lie after lie, and we have to cherish the truth, and we have to thank Yahweh every day of our life for the truth He gives us. That we're not hoodwinked into these lies that He's bringing. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Drop down to verse 34. And Yeshua answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone practicing sin is a servant of sin, right? You are the servant of what you obey. But the servant does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And this is the days of unleavened bread. This is about getting that leaven, that sin out of our life. So, again, if there's something you're addicted to, it could be anything. You know, it could be tea, it could be coffee, it could be something that's not even bad, but if you have to have it, if you can't do without it, then you're the servant of that. You're the servant of what you obey. And can you imagine if something physical, a drink, a food, or whatever, something physical, is like, you can't control yourself even not to do that, not to take that one thing, you have to do it, you know? I mean, I remember at one of our school programs, somebody was addicted to chocolate. They were going out 2 o'clock in the morning, running under a tree and eating chocolate boxes. It's like, that's sad. That's sad, you know, that it's not even a person. It's not even something that has a mind. It's a piece of candy that you can't go 24 hours without eating a candy bar, that you got to run off and do it. So this is why He says, He'll set you free. His Spirit frees you from all of this. It frees you from Satan's mind. It frees you from his system. It frees you from all the lies and everything out there. But are you staying free? You know, he sets you free, but then you have to choose to stay free. And many times, believers, sometimes right after coming out of the water of baptism, they're running right back to the world. You know, are you staying free, or are you putting yourself right under Satan's authority? Because he's the authority in that world. Like I said, even to Yeshua, Yeshua didn't say, "How dare you say that, Satan? I'm the authority of everything." It's like, no, Yahweh gave Satan the authority of everything going on out there. And as long as you're giving into that, you're giving up your freedom. And what are you giving it up for, right? What are you giving it over for? Repentance and faith in the blood of Yeshua frees us from citizenship in Satan's society. Repentance and faith in the blood of Yeshua frees us from citizenship in Satan's society. And that's exactly what Yeshua said to the Apostle Paul, right? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to Yahweh. That's what he's doing. To turn us from the authority of Satan to Yahweh. So repentance and faith in the blood of Yeshua frees us from citizenship in Satan's society. That is why Satan deceived the world through commercial Babylon. And that is why he hooks everyone to be part of that, so they have to be part of that system. And now the next step is what? Global currency, where unless you take that chip, you won't be able to access any of those possessions that you've been hoarding in Babylon. You won't be able to get to your bank account. You won't be able to pay your mortgage. You won't be able to do anything. So what's going to happen? They already see 70% of the people, they already know with COVID, will go along with it no matter what. And out of that 30% that's been holding back, most of them will probably take it if it comes to freezing their bank accounts and not getting money. But this frees us from that. It frees us from commercial Babylon, which Satan is the God of, and he keeps people addicted to mammon and power of the system to control them. We have to leave the system that Satan is the god of. It's that simple. You have to come out of that system. And that's why in Revelation 18 he says, "Come out of her, lest you partake in her sins and receive a firm place." Isaiah 40 and verse 3. So this is our commission. This is the end time Elijah ministry, which, praise Yahweh, we are a part of. Isaiah 40 and verse 3 says, "The voice of him who cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim." Right? Make straight in the desert. We're in the desert, right? And you could see in the desert, the roads are all, you know, very windy in the desert, right? But when the road is windy, it takes a long time. And there's times where I'm looking on a map and I'm thinking, wow, that should only take about 20 minutes to get from here to here. And they said, no, it takes an hour and a half. You got to go all the way around and zigzag and zigzag and zigzag, right? But what is our job? Our job is to make these roads straight. So what do you think that means on a spiritual level? It's like getting rid of all the fluff of Babylon, which also there's religious Babylon, and making that straight, you know? And that's what we do. Because in the world, everything is a gray area. Everything is like, nope, but with us, it's pretty straight. Nope, Christmas is pagan. Nope, birthdays are pagan. Nope, Easter is pagan. You want to know the truth? Sabbath is the truth. The kingdom of Yahweh is the truth. The holy days are the truth. There's no zigzagging. So part of our job here is we have to make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Because we're the forerunner for that kingdom. As we're going to see, John the Baptist was literally the Elijah, as we're going to see. And what did he do? Whatever he did, that's what we have to do. "Every valley will be exalted, and every mountain and hill will be made low. And the knoll shall be a level place, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of Yahweh will be revealed." The glory of Yahweh will be revealed. "And all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it." Praise Yahweh for that. And can you imagine? You know, he's chosen us. He's chosen us to be a part of that. This is our calling. This is the Elijah ministry. Our job is to make a straight path from the desert to the kingdom. Straight path from the desert to the kingdom. Matthew 11. So let's see John's example on this. Matthew 11. And verse 9. And Yeshua is talking about John, right? He's talking about John the Baptist. And he says, "What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, one more excellent than a prophet. For this is the one about whom it has been written, Behold, I send out my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. So, in ancient times, you know, they didn't have the system we have today with roads and tarmac and all that stuff. So if you're coming, like if a king is coming from Babylon over to Amman, say, right, what happens? They have to come on this road with horses, and the road has potholes and it has rocks. So somebody would go before the king as the delegation, the front runner, and he would fix the road. He would fix all those potholes, he'd take any rocks, so that when the king would come, he'd have a smooth ride. And that's why it says, make straight the windy paths, right? And that's what John did, because think about it, right? When Yeshua came, his ministry was very short. Some people think it was a year. I think from Scripture we could prove it was about 2.5 years, but it wasn't that long. It wasn't 10 years or 20 years. So Yeshua didn't have time to prepare the people and prepare their minds. That was John's position. And that's why, like I said, when you look at the ancient mikveh was for ceremonial things. Mikveh meaning like baptism. That if you came near a dead body, you'd have to go in the water, you know, for the mikveh. If you, if a woman had her impurity for the month, you have to go in the mikveh. If a priest was going to do a job, he'd have to mikveh before the job. And if he touched something that was defiled, he'd have to mikveh again, sometimes 4 or 5 times in the day. And only when John the Baptist came did he relate the mikveh into the New Testament baptism, meaning that it's not just ceremonial uncleanness, this is for sin. You're going and you're washing your sins away. And interesting enough, even in Judaism, and this is written in their books, the Talmud, the Mishnah, that from John's time, they say, from the first century, that even in Judaism, they look now at mikveh for forgiveness of sin. They don't just look at it anymore as ceremonial washing. So we know at this point, that was his job. His job was to prepare the people for Yeshua to come. And that's why when Yeshua came, they were ready for it. Already thousands and thousands of people had been mikveh, not for because they came near a dead body, but they were mikveh because they wanted to cleanse their sins away. Because they were starting to look in their souls and look in their hearts and look in their minds and say, where do I need to change? Where's my life not close to Yahweh? And when was it? It was the Shemitah. And that's what we said. That's why many of those people came to Yeshua that year, because they decided, I'm going to dedicate the whole year to Yahweh. And they followed him and they went where he was and they wanted to hear the words of life. Other ones that maybe weren't keeping the Shemitah, they missed it. You know, the woman came home and she would say, you know, Isaac, you're not going to believe it. There's a young man from Galilee and you got to hear the words he had to say. They're changing your life. Oh, Sarah, I don't have time for that. Got to get out to the field. Got to get back to the field. And that's why a lot of them didn't believe him, because they didn't keep the Shemitah. Because their mind wasn't focused on that. It was focused on whose kingdom? Satan's kingdom, not the kingdom of Yahweh. And it's amazing to me to think, because probably, I know I've thought this, probably each of us have, do you ever think, well, if I could have just been there one day when Yeshua was alive, you know, and physically hear it. But at the same rate, after all the millions of people he preached to, what happened? After his death, there were only 120 people that believed. That's not that many. You know, and that's Yeshua. After everybody, the healings, the raising from the dead and everything, and only 120 people believe. And then I say, you know, Yahweh, I think I'm good right where I am. Because if I lived in that time and I denied him, where would I be? I'd be nowhere. But this is what John's job was, and this is what our job is. Our job is to prepare the people. It's to make these windy roads straight. Because when the kingdom comes, we got to start working on day one. It's not when Yeshua returns that we're going to have these kind of classes. No. The ones who are getting ready, the ones who are preparing, day one we go out. He's telling us our job. You go to China. You go over here to wherever, North America. You go wherever you're going to go to. And there's going to be people that are there that survive this horrible Holocaust that's going on. And we're going to have to teach them that Satan's system is gone, you know, and the kingdom of Yahweh is here. We're going to have to teach them the mindset of that. And then we're going to have to teach them all the other things that's involved. Education, you know, organic growing, all the different things that will be part of that kingdom. So that was his job, preparing the way. Matthew 6 and verse 21. Because one thing is certain, there's no dual citizenship in the kingdom of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, I'm blessed that I'm a dual citizen. I have citizenship in the United States, of Babylon, and I have citizenship in Italy, in Europe, which means I could actually go to any country in Europe because of the European Union. But and it is that way today. In Germany, they don't have any dual citizenship. Some countries do, some countries don't. But in the kingdom of Yahweh, there's no dual citizenship. So you can't have a passport to the kingdom of Satan and a passport to the kingdom of Yahweh. It doesn't work. So in Matthew 6, in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what we said yesterday, right? Your priority is what you get done. So you could say whatever you want, you could deceive yourself, you could have Satan deceiving yourself, but at the end of the day, if you didn't get Yahweh's work done, it's not your priority. No excuses in the kingdom of Yahweh, right? Because when you're proactive, you don't make excuses. When you're proactive, you get it done one way or the other. It's the reactive person who just wants to make excuses. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. The lamp of the body is the eye, right? From darkness to light. We're going from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Yahweh. The lamp of the body is the eye. Then if your eye is pure, all your body is light. But if your eye is evil, all your body is dark. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Wow. And we're living in a world of complete darkness, right? And everything we funnel, like we said, our eyes see it. It goes through our nervous system. It goes to the brain. And if all those things coming back are darkness, like he says, how great is that darkness? No one is able to serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh and wealth, right? And commercial Babylon is based, everything is just based on wealth, on money. You know, it's a system that's never been that way. There's never been a worldwide trading system like we have today. And it's the way that Satan set it up. And it's not righteous, it's not just. You know, what they do to harm poor people and make the rich richer. But you have to make a choice. You can't serve two masters. Like I said, there's not dual citizenship in the kingdom of Yahweh. So either we are living for that kingdom of light, day in and day out, with no compromise, or you're living for the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Satan. And this is where we have our free will, and it's for everyone to decide. No dual citizenship in the kingdom. We must leave Satan's society for the wilderness, fulfill our commission as ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh. And the greatest training for the kingdom is now. This is it, because we're on the last leg. So the greatest training is now. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. It's got to become a reality, though. That there's a reason why our brethren for 1,260 years were in the wilderness. You know, like I said, it wasn't just because they were being persecuted. Because they took the commandment, they took the word of Yahweh literal, and they knew they had to leave the society. And if they did that back then, how much more now? You can't get worse than the world is today. And like I said, the less you are involved with Satan's system, the less that these things that are going to come up are going to affect you, including the mark of the beast. So 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, what does it say? Do not unite in marriage with unbelievers or be unequally yoked. So it's not just speaking about marriage, but it's in general the premise that we're not to unite with unbelievers in the things we do. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? I remember years ago, somebody in the congregation came up to me and they said, you know, Elder Don, they said, I have a problem. They said, at work, I feel comfortable with the people I work with, but when I'm with the brethren, I don't feel comfortable. And I said, because you're too worldly, it's real simple. You know? You're like people like things. And you are going to feel the most comfortable with people that are the most like you. So if you're comfortable with all the worldly people at your work, and you're uncomfortable with the people of Yahweh, what is that telling you? It's telling you you're too worldly. It's that simple. And that's what he says here. What partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? Because the people of the world are law. They might seem like nice people. They might do a good thing for whatever reason. But they're not righteous. You know, they're lawless people. It's a lawless world. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And this is what we have to decide. And what agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what does a believer have with an unbeliever? Right? So if the closest people in your life are unbelievers, there's a problem right off the bat. There's a big problem. What part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim. As it is said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. And that's what Yeshua said. I will tear down this sanctuary and rebuild it in 2 days. And he talked about the sanctuary of his body. The Apostle Peter said, we are living stones, you know. When we get into our priesthood, we're going to be talking a lot about that. But we are living stones in the sanctuary of Yahweh. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh. And do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh Almighty. So it's very clear. It's very clear in Satan's world of darkness, if you want to live in the light, you have to separate from the darkness. Because the darkness is the absence of light. So if your friends, if your work, if your life, if anything, part of your life is in darkness, then that means light isn't there. Because that's all darkness is. Like I said, darkness doesn't exist. It is only the absence of light. Most stay in the world. Why? Not because they're forced to. Because they love it too much. It's that simple. Most stay in the world because they love it too much. They love the darkness more than the light. And like I said, this whole thing with this vaccine and COVID has been a blessing, I believe. I believe it really, I know it has in my life, it's really shown me in my life where changes have to be made. And it's really has been a test on how much we're part of the world and how much we're not. Because there were certain things with COVID that didn't affect me whatsoever. You know, I don't work in the world. So all these work mandates and everything, I didn't have to worry about any of it. But wow, I do have to go out and buy food, and I did have to go to stores. And when it was limited, you can't go unless you have, you know, the vaccine. And then I start thinking to myself, I need to come out of the world more. So I believe it was a blessing that Yahweh showed us of what to come. And again, wherever it affected you in your life, this is where you have to look and say, where does change have to come? So COVID was a real good test to see if someone would abstain from this when it will maybe even harm you and kill you. Because some people, claiming the believers, even took the vaccine. Even though you know it's going to harm you and kill you, people did it just not to lose a job. You know, or for whatever reason, not to be persecuted by the government or whatever they were doing. There were people that even took it. To ride on an airplane, right? Ride on an airplane, not get a job. It was interesting because when all that stuff started, there was, I forget if it was Fox News or something, they had like a panel of people and they were questioning them. And most of the people actually were against it. They were against the vaccine. But then they asked them, well, if it meant that you weren't allowed to travel on an airplane, what about it? So out of maybe 12 people that were sitting there, all 12 were against the vaccine. And then when they said about traveling on an airplane, about 6 of them said, well, if it means I can't travel, I'll probably take it. So there it is, you know, you talk about a spirit of compromise. And this is what was testing not only Yahweh, given this as a test to us, but this is what Satan was testing his side to see how many people would arbitrarily just go along with it, what it would take to nudge them to get them, and now they're ready for the next step, you know, the next step in Satan's plan. John 3 and verse 19. So like I said, why do people stay in the darkness? Because they love it too much. John 3 and verse 19 says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness more than the light. Why? For their works were evil. They love the darkness more than the light because their works were evil. For everyone practicing wickedness hates the light and does not come to the light, that his works may not be exposed. So this is interesting. As believers, are we hiding part of our life in darkness because there's things we don't want to expose, you know, in the congregation? Or are we getting out those spots and wrinkles and now everything in our life is light to somebody else? But the one doing the truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in Elohim. And this is why it's every spot and wrinkle, because you have to get out every place of darkness. So there could be, like, you could have a room, right, and you have lights on, and most of it is light, but maybe in a corner somewhere, there's darkness, because there's a shadow. And that's our life. Hopefully our life is mostly light, but there's little patches of shadows of darkness somewhere, and we got to seek them, and we got to look for them, and we got to get rid of them. We have to make sure there's only light in our life. So which one are we choosing? Whose kingdom is your allegiance to? Whose kingdom is your allegiance to? The kingdom of Yahweh or the kingdom of Satan? And I want to go to Matthew 22, because this is, I don't know if you ever looked at it this way before, this story. We've all heard this story before, but it's a very interesting story on what we're talking about today. Matthew 22, and it's where they brought the coin before Yeshua, remember, and asked him whose inscription is on that coin, whether it was right to pay taxes. And why are they trying to trick Yeshua? Because they're looking for a way, right, to get him arrested, maybe even killed. And they're thinking, no matter what he says, they're going to be able to get him. Because if he says, don't pay taxes, because remember, the tax money was going to what? It was going to kill Jews. There were 500 Jews a day that were being crucified, you know, at this time. So if he says, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, then what's going to happen? Then the government's going to say, he's an insurrectionist, and they're going to arrest him. If he says, pay the taxes, then the Jews are going to say, why would you be telling them to pay taxes that are going to kill our people? So they thought, no matter what he says, we got him. We got him on this question. But look what he says. This is very, very interesting. Matthew 22 and verse 14. It starts out with, many are called, but few are chosen. And it's connected to the story. Many are called, few are chosen. Then going, the Pharisees took counsel how they might trap him with their words. So that was their plan. They were not sincere. They were sneaky, looking to trap him. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians. So now, we already know what a disciple is, right? So you know the one's coming. What are they? They're groupies for these Herodians. They're groupies for these Pharisees. So they'll do anything they say to try to get Yeshua. Teacher, we know that you're true. They're saying this to Yeshua, so they're falsely, you know, giving him false praise. They say, teacher, we know that you're true and you teach the way of Yahweh in truth, and it does not concern you about anyone, for you do not look to the face of man. Then tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to give the head tax to Caesar or not? But knowing their wickedness, Yeshua said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? So he knew exactly what they were doing, right? And he says, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Then he says, show me the coin. And they brought him a denarius. So I could bring out, you know, a $20 bill or a $100 bill or a $50 bill, and I could do the same thing. I could show you a coin, you know, with the face of the person. I could show you a bill with the face of a dead dignitary. But this is what they did. He said, bring the coin to me. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And then he said, then give to Caesar the things of Caesar, and give to Elohim things of Elohim. And hearing, they marveled and went their way. Give to Caesar the things of Caesar, give to Elohim the things of Elohim. So now connecting that today, right? Whose image is on the coin? All things of commercial Babylon belong to who? Satan. Everything of commercial Babylon belongs to Satan, right? So whose image is on the coin? Caesar or Satan? It's Caesar or Satan. It's Satan's system. Even then it was Satan's system because Yeshua said it. Don't seek mammon of this world that belongs to Caesar, Satan, as they come with a price. In Satan's world, everything comes with a price. And there's times, you know, if you're moving up the ladder, there could be the corporate ladder, the political ladder, and somebody is young, and they like the person for whatever reason, and they bring them in, and they say, we want to give you a better position. We're going to have you run for this office or whatever, and we'll put all the money out. You think they're doing it because they like you? No, they're doing it because they want to buy you. And they know it, because how do people win elections? It's all the corporations that are giving all the money, and then they're owned by the corporation. And that's the reason why the government has to put out millions and millions of dollars of commercials supporting a vaccine that will kill people. Because they were put there by who? Caesar Satan, you know? And these heads of these corporations, Pfizer, Merck, all of them, they're all there by who? Caesar Satan. You know? Pharmakia, it's all part of the same system. So, if you take the things of commercial Babylon, they come with a price. So give the things to Caesar Satan to Satan, right? Let him have his world. Let him have his system. Let him have his mark. Let him have his global currency. Let him have all that. They all belong to him. So let him have it. But the other part of it is also just as important. But give the things to Elohim, right? So he didn't just say about Satan's system. He also talked about Yahweh's system. Whose image are you serving? Give to Yahweh the things of Yahweh. And like I was saying in our meeting the other day, there's a lot of brethren that don't even tithe. You know, when you do everything that's commanded of you, you consider yourself unprofitable because you're only doing what's commanded. When you're not tithing, you're stealing from Yahweh himself. And then you're going to pray to him and ask him to bless you as you're stealing his tithe? Give to Caesar the things of Caesar, Satan. Give to Yahweh the things of Yahweh. And that's only on a surface level. You know, when we give to Yahweh, what does that mean? We're learning about that, right? That means that you've taken this commitment. When I baptize someone and I say, do you accept the blood of Yeshua for your forgiveness of sins? And have you repented of your sins? And that person says yes, right? You were bought and paid for. You don't belong to yourself anymore. A servant doesn't own private property, even himself. And yet we come out of that water, and what do? We go back, and we give to Caesar instead of Yahweh. Whose world are you living in? Who is your master? Is it Caesar, Satan, or is it Yahweh? And like I said, just look at your daily planner, and you'll know. Yeah, let Caesar, let Satan have his. Let him have everything, you know? The government wants to take 50% taxes, let them take it. Let them take whatever they want. Let Caesar, Satan take it all. But give to Yahweh the things of Yahweh. Grow in those nine fruits of the Spirit. Yahweh has given each of us a gift. Maybe more than one gifts of the Spirit. And by, how do you give to Yahweh? By using those gifts. By using those gifts to what? To do the ministry he's given us. To make that windy path straight. By bringing people to salvation. By getting this message out, the message that the world needs. Because the kingdom of darkness, we have an eclipse going on out there. It's getting darker and darker every day. But when that eclipse leaves, the kingdom of Yahweh is right there. So we're in the end of the end here. Give to Caesar, Satan, the things of him. Give to Yahweh the things of him. So what did he say? The other thing I thought was really interesting, he said, whose image is on that coin? Go to Genesis 1:26. Whose image are we made in? And Elohim said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. So whose image is on the coin? Caesar, Satan. Mm-hmm. Whose image are we made in? Yahweh. So there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye when you really think about it. You know? What he's really saying is, whose kingdom are you living for? Because like we said, we're human beings. None of us are Elohim. But we do get to choose who will be our Elohim. Who we will serve. And we're going to either serve Caesar Satan in his kingdom, or we're going to serve Yahweh in his kingdom. But again, you can't be a dual citizen. There's no dual citizenship in the kingdom of Yahweh. We are made in the image of Yahweh, not Satan. Whose image is on the coin, like I said, like in commercial Babylon, the petrodollar, right? The only currency that anywhere you go in the world, you can bring a dollar, right? Whose image is on that money? Colossians 1 and verse 10. Now, Yahweh has called us, and the blessing that he's given us is to come out of this world of darkness, to come out of Satan's system. and to come into the kingdom of Yahweh. And like I said, once you do that, it's not for the future. You live in that mentality of that kingdom every day because it's a real kingdom and it's here today. It just hasn't come to the earth yet. But it is here today. It's here in the hearts and the minds of everyone that he's called out, every first fruit. It's part of that. Colossians 1 and verse 10. He says that you may live a righteous life, pleasing to Elohim and bearing fruit in every good work and growing into the full knowledge of Elohim. Praise Yahweh, that's what we're here for. Being empowered with all power according to the might of his glory, to all patience and long-suffering with joy, so that you may joyfully give thanks to Elohim the Father, who has enlightened and made us a worthy inheritance of the saints. And he has delivered us out of the authority of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Praise Yahweh for that. In whom we have obtained salvation and forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the right of the firstborn of all creation. Talking about Yeshua. That's why we had the Feast of First Fruit last Yom Rishon, the first day of the week. And now we're already counting down toward the Feast of First Fruits, Shavuot. For all things were created through him, the things in the heaven, the things on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether imperial thrones or dominions or angelic orders or authorities, all things in his hand and were in his hand, and all things have been created by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are sustained. And he is the head of the body, the congregation. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead, that he might be preeminent in all things. And that's why I said my favorite day of the year is Resurrection Day. Because it's if he was resurrected, that means I'll be resurrected as long as I follow him and make sure I endure to the end. Because it pleased Elohim to complete all things in him, and through him making peace by the blood of his crucifixion, to reconcile all things to himself through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heaven. And you then being alienated and hostile in your mind by evil works, right? When we were part of Satan's world, serving Caesar, Satan, but now peace has been given through the sacrifice of his body. That's the way we have peace, right? He is the king of peace, Shar Shalom. So how do we get this peace? Through the sacrifice of his body and his death, so that he may raise you before him holy and without blemish and blameless. Wow. So that's personal. Every one of us, this should be personal to us. But our commission now is to make it personal to somebody else. To go out there and call these people, like I said, make that windy road straight. Get all those curves out of there. Make a straight path to the kingdom of Yahweh. Through the sacrifice of Yeshua, who is the Son in the image of the Father, right? We can be molded in the image of Yahweh. So the Son is the exact representation of the Father, and we, as his groupies, his disciples, we are supposed to be the exact representation of Yeshua. So sometimes when I've counseled with new people and they've said, if Yeshua was only on the earth, if I could only see him, and I say, you can. Look anywhere in the world where his people are. That's where you'll see him. People should see the representation, the image of Yeshua through us, because we're made in his image. And now we're growing into his likeness. So like I said, the image is the way we look, but the likeness is the character. Last scripture is 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 2. It says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, right? We're putting all darkness out of our life. Not walking in craftiness or corrupting the word of Elohim, but by the revelation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of men before Elohim. But if our good news is being hidden, right? Sometimes it's being hidden. We were talking about, you know, why is so few people understand it? Why is it being hidden? But if our good news is being hidden, it is being hidden to those who are lost. So we know in the day and age we live in, most people are going to be lost. To those whose eyes have been blinded by who? By Caesar Satan. They're blinded by Caesar Satan. to those whose eyes have been blinded by the God of this world, because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them, right? So this is where, you know, when you see a shadow, when you see the light shining on something in its brightness, and that brightness goes out and it glows, and Yeshua is that brightness and the exact image of the Father, and we need to have that in our life. People need to see Yeshua in our life, and it's got to be bright. All darkness has got to go. So why is most of the world in darkness? Because of the God of this world, because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them. For we do not preach about ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua, our Master. And as to ourselves, we are slaves for the sake of Messiah, right? That's what we said. Because it is Elohim who said, out of darkness, light shall shine. Out of darkness, light shall shine. And you know, there's people in this world, there's a lot of people I meet that are just coming to the truth. And they have a life that just had darkness for all different things. They had all kinds of things happen in their life and bad things happen in their life. But you don't know how bad these people want to come to the light. They want to get rid of that darkness. And that's where we have to get their hand and we have to pull them. We have to help them. Because it is Elohim who said, out of darkness, light shall shine. Right? Darkness is the absence of light. But once light's there, there's no darkness anymore. Who shone in our hearts. Out of darkness, light shall shine. Who shone in our hearts to give the brightness of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yeshua Messiah. And that's the power of this word. Because not only is it truth, but this is light. Right? And when we have this word and his words are coming out, that's the light that Satan can't stand. He can't stand it, and his messengers can't stand the light. They can't be around light. So the brighter we are, he's got to go. He can only stand in darkness. Because of it, Elohim said, out of darkness, light shall shine, who shone in the hearts to give the brightness of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yeshua Messiah. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power may be of Elohim and not from us, right? So where's the boasting? There's no boasting on our part. When we do our job, it's Yahweh's light, it's his spirit that is doing it. In every way being troubled, but not being overwhelmed. Being harassed on all sides, but not being conquered, right? This is in Satan's world. He's going to trouble us, but he's not going to overwhelm us. He's going to harass us on every side of our life, but he ain't going to conquer us. Being persecuted, but not being forsaken. Being thrown down, but not having been destroyed. For we always bear in our bodies about the death of our Master Yeshua, that also the life of Yeshua may be made manifest in our body. Wow, this is powerful stuff. This is really powerful stuff. His life can be and should be made manifest in this body that we have. For we who live are always being delivered up to death on account of Yeshua, that also the life of Yeshua may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So that death indeed is close to us, but life is near to you. Right? So as we bring this out, yeah, is Satan going to come after us? You better believe he is. And he's going to trouble us, and he's going to try to attack us. But what happens? He'll persecute us, but we're not going to be forsaken. He's going to throw us down, but we're not going to be destroyed. The power of Yahweh in us is going to go out and is going to do this. So yes, death will be close to us if you go out and do this, but life is near to the new believer. And that's where it comes. When you surrender yourself, when you love your neighbors yourself, you're doing it for that. You're going out and you don't care about your physical life because you want to bring life to somebody else. Like we said with Adam. Adam became a living soul, but Yeshua was a life-giving spirit. Do you want to just take life? Or do you want to give life? It's like if you have an electric appliance, right? When you plug it in, it needs energy for that thing to work. So do you just want to take energy? Or do you want to be an appliance that actually gives energy everywhere you go? We want to be a life-giving spirit. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. And like Jeremiah said, there's times in our life that we get overwhelmed and it's like, I don't want to do it anymore. But what does he say? I can't but not do it. Because when you get weak, the Spirit of Yahweh overtakes it. And where you can't go on anymore, that Spirit will push you to places in your life you never thought you can get to. But you got to believe. You got to believe and you got to surrender to Yahweh. Knowing that he who raised up the Master Yeshua will also raise us up through Yeshua and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace made through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of Elohim. Because of this, we do not grow weary, but if indeed our outward man is being decayed, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Praise Yahweh. For while the troubles of the present time are little and light, and a great limitless glory forever and ever is prepared for us, we do not rejoice in the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things being seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are everlasting. This is our calling, right? Going from darkness to light, and like I said, darkness doesn't even exist. It only is there when there is no light. It's only there when the Spirit of Yahweh is missing. But when Yeshua returns and his light will fill all this earth, there'll never be darkness again. And how will we explain to our children what darkness is? Because they'll read it maybe in Scripture and they're going to say, it's only light. They're going to say, what is darkness? How do you explain it, you know, when it's not there? And we'll just have to tell them it's the absence of Yahweh. It's a place you never want to go and you don't want to know what it is. It's simply the absence of Yahweh. So we were called in the last days to be ambassadors of Yahweh for his kingdom. Our 100% allegiance must be to him and to his work, to his kingdom. And we can only do this by fully coming out of the world where Satan is the God. You know, as a human being, you can't separate yourself and give half of your allegiance to Satan and half of your allegiance to the kingdom of Yahweh. We need to be that bright light shining in a world of darkness so people whom Yahweh is calling can come to the light and out of the darkness of Satan's society. So I pray that you had a wonderful unleavened bread. It went quick, right? But we still have a lot of time. We still have a lot of things to learn, a lot of things to grow on. So praise Yahweh for that. But it's been wonderful. I'm looking forward to every day. And Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.